Dominion originates from Jesus, part three, and this is the final lap of this series to the glory of God. Next Sunday, we'll go to something else as I'm led by Spirit. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. I'll be there very quickly. That's our main text. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And then I'll wrap up what I've been teaching and preaching. I want to thank those of you that came yesterday to the workers' retreat. The Lord will honor you in Jesus' name. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Did we have a wonderful time yesterday?
Yes, sir.
So next year, we're not going to call it workers' retreat. We're going to call it family retreat. It is for the entire Expressioners family. Now, because I know some of you are not workers, so you did not come because they called it workers' retreat. You should have come all the same because we're hoping that someday you are going to join the workforce. If you are not a worker now, someday you are going to be a worker in the house. Okay? But for your sake, from next year, next January, the day after the January fast, the very next day, we're going to have it again, and we're going to call it Family Retreat. And it's for all the Expression House branches all over the world, all over Nigeria, and the ones that are abroad. Amen. Isaiah chapter 2. And we had a good lunch. Was that lunch good?
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory to God. Some people didn't come. And it wasn't rubbish. It was good. It was really good. It was jollof rice and chicken. Did you enjoy the chicken?
Yes, sir.
The flavor was something else. I mean, it was just, I can still taste it. Glory to God. Thank God the fast is over. Now we can eat. Those of you who didn't come, you missed that lunch. Ugh. Why did you miss it now? Eh? I'm not making any promises. I will feed you now with the word of God. All right, next time, when we call any meeting, please don't miss it. Make sure you're in church. Make sure you are in church. If it's not clear whether you should be here or not, ask questions. Ask someone. Someone will put you through. Someone will direct you. And then make sure you're available. We had one solid hour of praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you enjoy that prayer time?
Yes, sir.
And then we had awesome worship. Beautiful. And then we had breakout sessions where we rubbed minds. Did you guys enjoy that breakout session?
Yes, sir.
I could hear a lot of conversations. And then we, the pastors, also had a good time. And then we got God's word. And as usual, it was longer than we had envisaged. And it was powerful. The preacher really preached. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Fire. Fresh fire this morning. Isaiah chapter 2. From verse 1 all the way to 5. We read together from God's word this morning. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. In the top. And shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow into it. Amen. Shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he shall teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O Expression House, O House of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. The crux of this message is that dominion, which is our mandate for the year 2025, originates from King Jesus. There is no recording victory or testimonies or healing, walking in dominion outside of Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. But then it's important for us to know how to position ourselves so that the provision that Jesus has made, we can benefit maximally from it. That's the crux of this message. And I began to share with us some important, very important thoughts 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I asked us to prioritize the presence of the Lord this year. In all that you do, prioritize, give priority to the presence of the Lord. Not just when you come to church, in your private life. Make room for God. Make room for Jesus. Spend some private time daily with Him. It doesn't have to be 24 hours. And if you want to be 24 hours, glory be to God. If you're not going to school or you're not going to work. Our lives are very busy. And if care is not taken, we will factor God out of our schedule. And I don't want that to happen. Because outside of Him, we have no life. Outside of Him is death. Outside of Jesus is crisis. Outside of Christ. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. That's the way John put it in John chapter 1. And I think it's verse 5. Let's go there very quickly as I move on this morning. And I do trust God to be able to conclude. In John chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, in Him was life. And that life, the life, was the light of men. And I want you to say with me this morning, because I have Jesus, I have life. And I have light. His life in me produces light. The man of God, Kenneth E. Hagin, shared along this line some time ago. I was reading one of his books. I'm still reading, actually. He said before he gave his life to Christ, he was doing very badly in class, in school. His grades were so bad. And back in the day in America, if you failed a course, one of the courses, you repeat the entire class, the entire year. And in some instances, his teachers told him that they just had to give him like 2 points to make him just go through so that he would not have to repeat his class. And then along the line, at the age of 16, he became bedfast. You know what that means? He had a heart condition and he became paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And he was in that condition for a very long time. I think maybe 18 months or so. He was on that deathbed. Doctors told him, look, we cannot help you. Medical science gave him up to die. 5 doctors were on his case, checking his heart, checking his blood, checking everything, and they came to the conclusion that they could not help him. So he was given up to die. And then he said he was one day reading his grandmother's Methodist Bible. As a matter of fact, he couldn't use his hands. He was paralyzed. So they had to prop up the Bible open in front of him like this. And then he would find a way to try and scroll through the pages. I don't know how he did it, but he would just read. And then he said because he didn't have much time to leave, he started from the New Testament. He didn't start from Genesis because he knew that he didn't have much time to leave. The doctors told him he was going to die. And one day, he was reading and reading and reading and reading, and then he came to Mark 11:23. And that was the message he preached all his life because God raised him from that deathbed. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, if any whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, faith began to pop up in his spirit. Then he said one day he was reading James, and James said in James chapter 5, and I think it's verse 14, can you quickly put that on the screen for me? Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. All right? Now, next verse. Next verse. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. Now, he was bedfast. He was paralyzed. And he needed God to raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So he was looking for help. A young boy, at about the age of 18, 19. And doctor said, we couldn't help you. Medical science could not help him in America. So he called for somebody, like an elder of the church, a pastor, to come and pray for him. When he saw this scripture, because the scripture says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And if they do that, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And when the prayer of faith saves the sick, then God will raise him up. Eventually, nobody came. Then one day, somebody came. And when he came, he said to him, don't worry, son. I know you're in pain right now, but don't worry. Just a little time from now, and it will all be over. And the man walked away. You know what that means? Don't expect to live. Don't expect to be healed. This is your condition. The doctors can't help you. Medical science cannot help you. You have a heart condition. Your blood is not even good. Well, I know it's very painful, and you're feeling the physical pain. Don't worry, the pain will soon be over and you're going to forget about this. In the sweet by and by, when we all get to heaven, we're going to be all right. The man didn't believe in healing. So he left him and walked away. He said, when that happened, he cried and said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know any elder. Your word says, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him. But I don't know any elder that believes what your word says. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you don't have to call for them. You can call. You can do the praying yourself. Even in this situation. And he said, well, Lord, I'm just going to believe you. I'm going to take you at your word. That the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord will raise me up. And I'm just going to put out all of my faith. I'm going to trust you. Because I saw in Mark 11, 23, if any shall say to this mountain, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24 says, and whatsoever you desire, do you desire healing this morning? He said, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, you, not when the pastor prays for you. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Beloved, the man got healed. Gradually, he said, life began to come into him. Somehow, got his legs on the floor. Somehow, he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, do you believe you're healed? Say, yes, I'm healed. Do healed people stay back, flat on their backs, and waiting to die? Said, no. Healed people get up, they dress up, and they go out. So, then he put action to his faith, and then he stood up. He said, as he stood up, there was a pile of liquid that he could feel from the crown of his head, all over his body, flowing down his neck, down to his spines, his back, then his hands out of his finger. It described it like honey. He said it was like honey. You know, when you pour honey, when you're pouring honey, honey is not like water. It won't flow like water, but there's a way it begins to pile. He said he was feeling that, and then it went down his middle part of the middle body, and then down to his thighs, and down to his legs, and like out of his feet. And it was warm. That was how he got healed in one day. And he preached the message of faith for at least, that I know, at least 50 solid years. So much so, he was called the father of the Word of Faith movement. Kenneth Hagin. It's a good testimony you should check out online and read after him. This man had visitations from the Lord Jesus a couple of times. And I was sharing with those who were at the retreat yesterday. On one of the visits, the Lord Jesus said to him, look, he said he was in his room. I think he was lying on his back, something like that. And then he heard footsteps of a person coming to his room. And so he was expecting that the person would open the door and then come in and then he would have a conversation. And then as the door opened and the person came in, it was the Lord Jesus. He said all the strands of hair on his own head stood like this. You know when you see the Lord Jesus, you become speechless. And the Lord took a chair and sat right in front of him. And now the Lord began to teach him certain things that he would put down in books to teach the body of Christ. And the Lord said to him, I want to let you know how I lead people, how people are led by the Spirit. And the Lord began to teach him these things. And the Lord said, this is going to be the last time that I'm going to appear to you, that I'm going to lead you this way, coming physically. I don't do this for everybody. So this is the last time. From now, I'll be leading you the way I lead others in the body of Christ. And what is the number one way that the Lord leads us today in the New Testament? We are no longer under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, people hardly enjoyed a one-on-one relationship with the Lord. The Spirit of God came upon the priests, came upon the kings and the prophets. It would come, it would give them a word, and that's it. It's like then it would leave. But in the New Testament, the cup got turned over like this, and then the Holy Ghost now came into and then upon people. Under the old covenant, it came upon the king, it came upon the priest, it came upon the prophet. In the New Testament, he is not just upon us, he's within and then upon. Within to bless us. Within, like a well of water, to bless and to supply all that we need. Upon, like a river, so that he can make us a blessing to other people. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It's the same Holy Spirit, but then dual functions. The Lord said to him during one of those visits, so he said, the primary way I lead people in the New Testament is by the inward witness. Somebody say inward witness. You find that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It said, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, or we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Look, I'm emphasizing this because it's going to save somebody's life. When you have an issue and you want to be led by the Lord, spend some time apart, some time alone, praying in the Holy Ghost, and spend some quality time listening for his leading. I am telling you, it will save your life. It is not only for dangerous situations. It is also for your prosperity. The Lord Jesus said to Kenneth E. Hagin, Papa Hagin, he said, if you would follow the inward witness, I will make you rich. You know why? Because God will inspire in you ideas. Like the man of God, or a robot would say, ask God for insights, concepts, and ideas. Those of you in the creative industry, just one idea. One idea can change your trajectory forever. An idea that nobody has thought of, or maybe other people have thought of, but they never operationalized. God will tell you, it's the same thing you are all doing. All of you are in the same industry. Everybody is writing scripts, making skits, doing this, doing that. But God says now, do it this way. Do it differently. Don't do it like the others. Do it like this. Do it like this. And he will give you specific instructions and the people to work with. And if you follow him, trusting that inward witness, he said, I will make you rich. Ideas rule the world. Ideas rule the world. Can you imagine that? I mean, in the 80s, when I was growing up, we didn't have mobile phones. No, we didn't have them. We had box telephones, and only the rich had it. My family didn't even have one. Because you have to pay Nitel maybe every month or every year, subscription. So my parents didn't have it. Nobody had it in my house. And I lived in a house, I was born in a house of about 8 to 9 families. Nobody had it. There was one man on our entire street that had it. And so if I had a call from Abuja, from one of my uncles or an uncle in Lagos, they would call on that number, they would pick it up, and then put the receiver. They don't put it back on the phone. They put it backward. And then they will come and call me, and then I will go and receive the call, talk to my uncle, and then put it back, and then thank them for calling me. Imagine what life looked like back then. I could be eating eba in my house, eating my eba and okra soup, and all of a sudden they will yell my name, Aki, you have a call. Man, I was at the mercy of those people. Whatever I was doing, I dropped it immediately because I needed to go and pick my call. If anybody told me in 1986, 87, 88, 89, 90, and I hope nobody's fiddling with their phone, everybody's listening to me right now. If anybody ever told us then that a time is coming you'll be able to afford, you as an individual, will be able to afford a mobile phone. Because as I grew older, got into secondary school, I began to see cellular phones. A professor uncle of mine had it. A few people that I knew had it, but they were rich people. And it was this long. If anybody gives you that now as a birthday gift, you will hit it on their head. And say, are you normal? It was this big. So only the rich had it. Only the rich had it. Now listen. If anybody now told me in addition that a time is coming, you know, you can be on the phone talking to someone in America or in any part of the world and you'll be seeing the person. What kind of lie? Your generation doesn't appreciate what I'm saying because you were not there in the dark ages. But let me surprise you. The generation that is coming will also laugh at you when you say certain things that are happening now, which you think are normal. And they are cool, and you think we've arrived. There is AI now. We are already in the future. It will shock you that in about 15 years from now, you will be in another kind of future with technological advancement. If I say certain things now, you will say, Pastor Fred, that's incredible. That cannot happen. But with technology, it will begin to happen. As God gives people ideas, concept, and insight. But where am I going? The people who discover the ideas first, the concept first, and operationalize it, they will be rich. Because every other person will have to follow them. When MTN came to Nigeria and they sold a SIM for 35,000 naira, people rushed to buy a SIM because we didn't even have phones. We didn't have mobile phones. We bought a SIM for 35K. Can you believe that? Can you buy a SIM now for 35,000 naira? In the same country. Initially, when the mobile phones came, we didn't have this kind of technology. It was Nokia 3310, 3410. It was 3310 first, and then later 3410 came. And I remember a friend sent me one from England. Man, I was a big boy. That was the ringing tone. And a big boy. No camera phones. Then much later, the camera phones began to show up. Sajem, my ex one, my ex whatever, you know, and then we were celebrating it. And then Nokia now came with another kind of, you know, what kind of phones, and then they were now looking trendy and everything was looking fine. Technology began to advance. Imagine the first company that came up with the idea of having a camera being attached to a phone so that you can use a mobile phone to take a picture. Today, you know what the world can do with the iPhone Pro Max. You can shoot an entire movie without a professional camera, just using a smartphone. An entire movie. Where am I going with this? If you listen to the Holy Spirit in you and you allow Him lead you in your field, in what you do, what it takes to be rich is to find out where everybody is going, but you get there first. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Find out from the Holy Spirit, where is everybody going? That is, what is the future? And then it downloads the future to you, and you get there first. Every other person will line up behind you. It's like a pyramid. The people that get there first, they keep going up. And then downliners keep coming. As the downliners are coming, they're bringing money. But the one up there, there was a guy called Alex. I can't remember his last name. He was in England. He was living in London. A Nigerian guy. He was one of the millionaires in the 90s. This guy was the first to come up with the ringtone, signature ringtone in London. And he was selling it for £1. Just £1. So you get a phone. Of course, they had been using mobile phones for only God knows when. But he came up with the ringtone. You know, initially, it was just anything that came with the phone. But later, we could download music. And then you could choose your tune. And in fact, there was a time we were subscribing to the providers. And then they would put a tone in your phone. So if anybody called you, that's the music they would hear. I mean, it was all very exciting. Because these things were new. These things were strange. This guy sold his ringtone for £1. All he needed was 100,000 subscribers. He became a multimillionaire. Find out where people are going. Get there first. Get there how, when? Get there how, when? First. Every other person lines up behind you, you're made. And listen, child of God, if you follow the inward witness, the Holy Spirit in you, whether you are doing printing business, you are doing publishing business, you are doing graphics designing, you are doing whatever you do, right? Whatever your hand, you are doing agriculture, whatever you do, find out where everyone is going. Find out the future. If you are in pharmacy, do you know today there are people operating online pharmacy? Online pharmacy. You make your order online, you make your payment, they send you drugs. Find out the future. Get there first. The Lord Jesus said that to Kenneth Hagin, and he's saying that to us today. And if you want to put your money in a business and he warns you to not put your money, you better don't put your money because your money is going down the drain. Oh, no, he's a pastor, he's a man of God. If I give him money, I trust him. You trust him more than the Holy Ghost? How stupid can that be? To trust anybody, any pastor, any bishop, more than the Holy Ghost? We have neglected the Holy Ghost for too long. And we have suffered for it. Many of us are not supposed to be where we are today. It was because we did not listen to his instructions. And listen to me, church, and I hope nobody is sleeping right now. He's never going to speak to you from the outside. You won't hear a loud voice from outside. He's going to speak to you from within. He's within you. Ignore him at your own peril. You're going out, and he says, don't take that route, take this route. No, that's a longer route. All right, whatever you see is what you find. This is why sometimes some Christians die young, and people run their mouth. And I'm not saying every time. I'm saying sometimes. And people say, but he was a Christian. But he was always serving God. He was even a preacher. He was doing this. Did you know the instruction the head of the church gave him and he did not listen? Oh, no, but I read Psalm 91. I read it every day. I read it yesterday before going out. The Lord, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will see of the Lord. He's my refuge and my fortress. Nobody will attack me. And the Holy Spirit says, delay your trip by 10 minutes. And it tells you specifically, don't go taking that route. Take this other route. And you argue. While you are arguing, you are quoting scriptures. Anywhere I take, the Lord is with me. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered. But you know you can quote scriptures to the Lord in disobedience. Because you want to cover your disobedience. You know the presence of the Lord is with me. Anywhere I go. Oh, he's with me. After all, the Bible says, he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Come on now. All is all. Anyway is a way. All righty. And he's given you a specific instruction. Or he has withheld your peace. Meaning, don't go that way. But you go that way, armed robbers nab you on the way, beat you blue-black, give you a red mouth. Red mouth, you know red mouth? Boom, and then blood. Take away your stuff. And then you go angry with God. What kind of God are you? What kind of God? You can't even keep your children. Huh? Ordinary armed robbers. And I shouted, Jesus. I thought they would run away. They didn't run. I said to them, as they pointed their gun, I said, in the name of Jesus, they slapped me. Because you were in disobedience. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? This is a teaching I want to do at Bible study. But many of you don't come to Bible study, so let me help you a little bit this morning. Don't quote scriptures in disobedience. Obey the innermost voice that is speaking to you, the inward witness. Likewise, the spirit beareth witness with our spirit. It bears witness. It bears witness. People have married wrong because they ignored the warning. All for them to be eating their pounded yam as yam. One genuine, one issue now. And they are blaming God. God, where were you when I wanted to marry? God spoke to you. God withheld your peace. That guy is a beast. But you say, no, he's the nicest guy in church. Praise in the Holy Ghost 6 hours. That's the kind of brother I want, the kind of man. A man that can that has the stamina to pray 6 hours sweating. He's an animal. God knows he's an animal. God is still working on him. He's still animalistic in nature. God is still working on him. And he's going to turn you into a punch bag. Say, no, he's my toy. He's my teddy bear. He's my baby. He my baby. My baby boo. 1 year into the marriage, boom. Boom. Lord. Oh, and I served you all my life. Lord, you know, and I was a virgin till I got married. I was a virgin. I married as a virgin. I didn't mess around like other girls. You know, you pray the prayer of the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees, when they pray, they stand on their own righteousness. Lord, I thank you because I'm not like this Sadducees. Very stupid guy. They steal a lot of money from church. Oh, no, Lord, I thank you because I don't smoke. Look, I don't drink. No, I'm straight. That's the way Pharisees pray. They compare themselves with other people. Come straight before the Lord. I want to beg you, church. It will interest you that this is really not my message, but it's in line with my message this morning. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I know the Lord wants to do something. Follow the inward witness. I give you 3 quick ways. I shared them yesterday. Let me share them again very quickly. Number one, the inward witness that the Lord leads in the New Testament. Under the old covenant, people went to the prophet. And the prophet had to pray and had to get a word from God and had to tell them, my son, oh, beauty star, my son, thou shalt not take that way, thou shalt take this way. That does not happen in the New Testament. Unfortunately, there are many New Testament people behaving like Old Testament folks. They are still going to prophets on the mountain. Ori oke, ogun, bogumi, joguomi, oke, gokemi. So there are some babas there. When you kneel down like this, the moment they say, Nyoru God, yes! My friend! That was Old Testament. Don't get the Lord upset. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost in that man is in you right now. And God has not designed for a man to be dependent on another man. God has designed for every man to depend on him. He is the Lord. He's the head of the church. Are you with me, church? Am I saying you can't ask a pastor for prayer? You can ask a pastor for prayer in some cases, but you can pray for yourself as well. You can do your own praying. Glory be to God. Many, many mishaps have taken place in the lives of Christians because they did not listen. They didn't listen. People have wound up in wrong professions. They didn't listen. So that's what I like. I just like it. I just like nursing. Or I just like medicine. I just like law. Did you seek his face? Did he give you peace with it? I know that when you listen to the Holy Spirit, you will walk in dominion. Because you will travel through life like knife through butter. Will you face challenges? Yes. Will you overcome? Yes. Because you're on the right path. Being on the right path does not mean that we will not face challenges. Does not mean we won't go through hard times. Does not mean that we won't go through issues. And does not even mean that we won't make mistakes, because there are some times that we don't listen. And then we make mistakes. But thank God for His mercy. His mercy will draw you back. And then straighten up, boy. Straighten up, girl. And start following the leading of the Spirit again. So how do you walk in dominion in 2025? Number one, I said, through fasting and heartfelt prayers. Number two, I said, through engaging the Word of God. And then number three, which is the last point I'm going to make today and wrap this up, is through your local church engagement. Your local church engagement. Your local church. Belong. Belong to a local church. If the Lord leads you here, belong properly here. Whatever we are doing here, this is your church. You have to own the church like it's my church. Don't say, oh, well, they are having a program next week. No, we are having a program. As a matter of fact, I am having a program because my church is having a program. Are you getting what I'm saying? There will be prayer every Tuesday now, 6 a.m., right? Is that correct? And 8 p.m., 6 a.m., and then 8 p.m., and it's going to be on MixLR. And the leaders have requested that this time I should be the one to start it for them. So this Tuesday, I'm going to be on MixLR to lead the church to pray. But you know what many Christians do? You don't join the online prayer meeting of your own church, but you join NSS Pepe PD. And you put it on your phone. You are not loyal. You are not committed to your church. If that's the church you belong to, yes, push it. There are good people there. They push their own church stuff. You are not pushing your own church stuff. You are pushing what belongs to another church. And it shows that you don't even belong anywhere. I want to plead with you this year. Belong properly. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Psalm 92 verse 13. Can you put that on the screen for me? I want to talk to you about the local church. And now stop it. That's my only point for today. It will shock you. I'll be done in a few minutes. Let's read this together. One, two, go, everybody. Those that be planted. I can't hear you now. Does your Bible say those who are roving about in the house of the Lord? A rolling stone that gathers no moss. Every special program, you're there. Every concert, you're there. Every vigil, you're there. You go to Prayer Mountain, Prayer Valley, prayer. But we don't see you on Thursday Bible study here. They don't see you on campus. You are a student of the University of Ibadan. You have never mistakenly attended the Stone Campus Fellowship UI. You are in rebellion. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to all of you. You are a student of the Polytechnic Ibadan, and you don't attend the Polytechnic Ibadan Fellowship. If there is none, start one. That's how to show loyalty to your brand. You know what it looks like when you tell your dad, "Dad, you know, I really love you. You're my dad. But guess what? I prefer to be riding in the car of my friend's dad to take us to school every morning." In other words, your car is a disgrace, but I know you're trying. But I prefer that car. That car has AC. Okay. That one has AC, eh? Is all right? Our own car does not have AC. Glory be to God. As you are entering that car, just tell that man to be paying your school fees. No, Dad, I don't mean it that way. I mean, like, you know, it's more comfy. It's comfortable. And, you know, sometimes we even get some extra snacks. And, you know, the man just takes us to an eatery and then buys us snacks, like, on our way from school. You know, I've been able to ride with them a couple of times. So I want to make it a permanent thing. Oh, really? And then you wake up someday and tell, "Ah, Dad, this house that we're living in, eh? I wish that God will provide for you so that you can build a better house. This one is, oh God. Oh Lord, when? We don't even have asbestos. I'm looking at the what do you call that thing now? Corrugated iron sheet. Man, la mang benimokola. In English, is corrugated iron sheet. But the real word for it on the streets, man.
pan and plywood. Lord, when? Your dad is doing his best. God is taking him from stage to stage. He's in chapter 20 of his life. That other person is probably in his chapter 45 of his life. And now you're comparing your dad. It will be unfair. The person probably works in a blue chip company. Your dad is struggling to put his business together and still providing for the family. And you can open your stinking buccal cavity to tell him that he's not doing enough. He should man up. Flip that. If you were the parent and your daughter or your son is saying that to you, how would you like it? When you know the sacrifices you have to go through, the reason you don't have good shoes is because you have to save money to pay your children's fees. The reason you are still wearing your old clothes is because of them. You are doing everything to make sure there is food on the table, there's a roof over their head, there is something to take them from home to school, and you ensure that they don't chase them away from school due to lack of school fees. And then the child turns around to tell you to man up. See the way you are feeling now. That's how you make your local church feel. You don't post our content. You don't celebrate anything in this church. You just breeze in, breeze out. Oh, yeah, what's up? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when there's trouble, that's the church. Because you know, yeah, they will pray. You know, yeah, the altar is pure by the grace of God, and we'll keep it pure. We'll keep it sexually pure. We'll keep it spiritually pure. I signed up to God when I became pastor of this church. Lord, I'm not going to sleep with any of your girls. I'm not going to touch your girls. I'm not going to touch your gold, which is church money, and I'm not going to touch your glory. Can you show some loyalty? And you know what some people do outside church? I don't know, Pastor, the message he was preaching today was just off. I mean, he was just talking about me, and maybe somebody reported me to him. I don't even know you. I don't know your story. Every time I'm preparing the message, I'm asking the Lord, what do you want me to say? Your engagement in the local church can save your life and will also help you walk in dominion. Just like being led by the inward witness. We need one another as a local assembly. I need you, you need me. I will show you a scenario where even Apostle Peter, number one apostle, needed the church. You can be on fire for God. You pray, you read the Bible, but a situation may come that will almost swallow you. And unless you have people in the local church praying for you, you may go under. I pray for you, you will not go under in the name of Jesus. Engage with your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. Quickly, I need to go very fast. Jeremiah 29:13. Media, can you help me with that? So you save me the time I'm going to have to flip through the pages. Let's read, everybody. And you shall seek me, everybody. One, two, go. And you shall seek me and find me. When, there's a condition, when you shall search for me with how much of your heart? That's what God is asking you this year. All of your heart means you are here every Sunday. You are here every Friday, every Thursday Bible study. And in fact, those of you who can make it to the Monday afternoon prayer, you come. I'm not holding it against you if you cannot honestly come. No problems. But those who can come, why don't you come? Go to Jeremiah 30. Next chapter. 30 and verse 21. Your heart. God is looking at your heart. 30:21. Let's read, everybody. One, two, go. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. Make it louder. And I will cause him to draw near. Make it louder. And he shall approach unto me. Come on, make it louder now. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? God says, who is this? When you engage with your heart, God can tell. God will identify you. He will identify you. Who is this guy? You're there every time. There are some guys in this church. My wife was saying this morning as we're coming to church, unless the church does not open. When church opens, we can be sure of one or two guys that we'll find in church. They even get here before us every Sunday. heart engagement. So when you don't see such people in church, you know there must be trouble. I lost a cousin, a distant cousin. Well, like an uncle, qualified to be an uncle by virtue of our age difference. Last week, we were not in touch by any, but I knew his name. He was very popular in my mom's family, the Adekola family. Very popular, and then because it's a royal family where we come from, Iburukpa Akoko in Ondo State. And then I come from a royal family, my dad's side, a Legbe family, and then the Adekola family, both of them royal families. So I'm royalty, you know, praise God. Maybe someday I'll be a king. I know you guys will follow me to Iburukpa Akoko in those states. This guy lived in America. He was a musician. And some of you probably, if you Google, I mean, you might know him. But he was more popular with Nigerian artists like King Sunny Ade, Yinka Ifele, and even Two-Face and some of these guys. He was always hosting them in his home in Atlanta, Georgia, in the U.S. So he was a big boy. In fact, there was a time I was in the U.S., where I was in Atlanta, somebody was mentioning his name. So long and short of the story, I called an uncle in Lagos and said, this guy is our family member. I said, yeah. Because my mom had talked to me about him a couple of times. His name was Olorunrokan. In fact, Ayefele mentioned his name in one of his songs. Olorunrokan has died now. The one that Ayefele said didn't want to die. Now, what did I learn from his story? My uncle said he was attending a particular church in Atlanta, Georgia. He was always in church. So it was odd when they didn't see him last Sunday. We have another person from our hometown who also lives in the same area with him. When that guy didn't see him in church, he drove straight to his house. This guy's not in church. Never. He called his mobile. Nobody picked up. And then he sensed maybe something was off. He called the police. The police came, and then they entered the building. They entered the property. By the time they checked, he was alone at home. He was found dead in his apartment. What is the moral? He was always in church. I wish he had got some help. Maybe he had a heart attack or something. I wish somebody was around to help, support him, or he was able to reach out to someone. But the fact that he was always in church caught my attention. And because he was not in church, one Sunday, somebody left church and drove to his house. Some people, when we see them in church, we are surprised. Waloni. It is not a good way to live. You need the local church. Are you getting what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. There is no local church that is perfect. If you leave this church for another church, you have only exchanged problems. You have exchanged the problems of Expression House for the problems of where you are going. Because in as much as it's a gathering of people who are not perfect, from the pulpit to the pew, we all have our imperfections like you. You will always have issues in different churches. Some people will leave Stone Church and say, I'm going to that church. And then they get there. But shame will not allow them to come back. Because what shall we say now? From fry pan to fire. In your own biological family, is everybody perfect? Are you perfect? Somebody told me some time ago, I'm leaving the church. I said, why? He said, there's no love in the church. I said, hey, excuse me, do you have love? Say, yes, I have love now. I walk in love. I'm in love. I say, you have love. Stay back because you have what the church needs. We've been shouting, join a ministry, join a unit, find a place to serve. How can you claim, really, that you properly belong when you are not doing anything for the Lord? You see, if we don't feel your presence, sincerely, we will not know. We will not miss your absence. We won't even know you are not there. Think about that. Nobody taught me that as a young person when I began to serve the Lord. Very early in my life, I gave my life to Christ at about the age of 11, 12.
I didn't know what it meant to be born again, but I would carry a small pocket Bible, and during break time, I'll go and play football. Some break, I will not play football. I'll go and preach. I'll go and evangelize. I didn't know any more scripture than John 3:3, John 3:16. And my first convert, Maiowa, is in heaven now, became a youth pastor in, I think, New Covenant Church before he went to heaven. When I didn't know more than John 3:16 and John 3:3. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I want to see the kingdom of God. Do you want to see the kingdom of God? Yes, I want to see the kingdom of God. Oh yeah, let me pray for you. That was all I knew. I didn't know about the gift of the Spirit. I didn't know about the fruit of the Spirit. All the revelation we know now, I mean nothing. I didn't even speak in tongues. I used to even laugh at those speaking in tongues. What are they saying? Rabba, rabba, rabba. Oh, robo, bo, bo, bo. Eregegegege. Ulaba. Oh, that shall never end, though. Because where I was coming from, they didn't teach us. And what you don't know, you don't know. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs 19 verse 2, for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 from verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding may enlighten, that you may know, that you may genasko, that's the Greek word know there. It's a sexual word. When a man knows a woman in sexual intimacy, that's the highest form of knowing that a man can know a woman. If anybody has sex with you, they have access to your nudity. What else do you want us to see? You can't shackle for us again. So when I close my eyes like this, I know what you look like. So calm down, be calming down. That's the highest level of knowing. That's why you should not do it with anyone that is not your husband or your wife. It's the highest level of knowing. What more? Today we have a generation of shameless girls on the internet who record themselves and leak it. Forgetting that the internet neither forgives nor forgets. So when they start having children, someday the children will grow up and say, ah, mommy, my classmate showed me your nude. Low button. They don't know what they are doing now because of monetization. Some people will do anything for money. That's why the Bible said the love of money, not money, the love of money is root of all evil. Back to what I'm saying. Everybody needs the local church. Somebody say, I need the local church. And say, this year, I'm going to get engaged. Let me tell you, this is not the year to miss church. This is not the year to play truant. This is not the year. I understand those of you schooling outside the Ibadan. Yes, when you have to be in school, you have to. If you don't go to school, we will chase you. Go and get your degree. And don't let anybody come to me and say, Pastor, I received a calling from the Lord that the Lord is sending me to the mission field. I should not finish my first degree. I'd buy it here. My friend, go and finish your first degree. When you are done, do youth service. When you are done, come back. Let's talk. Somebody, they've left medical school halfway because they got a call. It could have happened for someone else. But you don't know the details between that person and the Lord. Don't copy someone else's manual to live your life. You can't use the manual of Mercedes-Benz to drive a Volkswagen. You will have accidents. The reverse of Mercedes-Benz, for those who drive manual, is to lift the gear, push it to your side, and push it forward. That's the reverse of Mercedes for those who are driving manual transmission. Volkswagen, manual, you push the gear down. For Mercedes, you lift it up. For Volkswagen, you push it down, push to your side, and then forward. So one goes up, the other goes down. But you say, no, Volkswagen, Mercedes. The two of them are German cars. And so you forcefully remove the gear lever of your Volkswagen. It will be in your hand like this, like the rod of Moses. That's what it means when you are using someone else's life to judge your life. Don't compare your life with someone else's life. God has a unique plan for you. God has a beautiful plan for your life, and you will get there in the name of Jesus. That's why I'm sweating like this. I will be on your neck and on your case this year until you align. You align. We will fight. But after the fight, you say, ah, thank God for PFE.
Some of you, I'll meet you on the road and ask you, have you prayed today? And you know, because a random question, you will not be able to lie. Are you with me, church? May the Lord honor you this year. Please, it's not a year to be half-hearted in your service to God. In your service to the Lord Jesus, don't be half-hearted. Don't be like Thomas. In John 20, everybody was in the house. Thomas went out. Thomas, all over the place. John 20, verses 19 to 31. When Jesus came, Thomas was not there. And he left. We don't have time to read it, but write it down. When he came back from where he had gone to play Ludo, they told him, Thomas, Didymus, we have seen the Lord. Said, the Lord cared. The Lord, the Lord died, but we know he's alive, somehow. Unless I see the print of the nails in his hands and the hole by his side. He didn't stop there. And unless I thrust my hand into his side, my towabo. I will not believe. In other words, for Thomas, seeing is believing. He didn't know that the spirit of Jesus was still there. Even though physically the Lord was not there with them, but spiritually was there. 1 week after, they were all in the house. This time, he didn't go to watch Arsenal versus Man U. Manchester United. And the Gunners are looking at me for my next statement. The Lord showed up again. This time, he was around. The first thing the Lord, the head of the church, said is, Thomas, reach forth your finger and behold my hands. And reach your hand, thither, your hand, and thrust it into my side. Exactly the words he used, the Lord used back for him. So that you will not die faithless, but at least you will believe. I was with you for 3.5 years. I did miracles in your presence. You were there when I fed the 5,000. You were there when I fed the 4,000. You were there when I raised the son of the widow of Nain. You were there when I raised Lazarus. You were there when the blind men followed me and I gave them their sight. You were there when I spat on the floor. I put on one of the a blind man's eye. You were there. You saw so many miracles that others heard. You saw. You were there with me when I killed the madman of the Gadarenes. Now he said, unless I touch, I will not believe. I will. That's an act of his will. I will not believe. Put your hand. He said, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. He said, now you believe. Because you have seen. But blessed are those who have not seen, but yet have believed. Will you believe God this year? That whatever you do this year, you lay your hands upon to do that is legitimate will prosper. Do you believe that as you engage with God in the local church, the blessing, the corporate anointing will work for you? There's something called corporate anointing. We're all anointed. If you have the Holy Spirit. But when we come together like this, we generate what is called a corporate anointing. And it is needed. I skip every other thing. Let me go to the story of Peter. As I close. Hey, someday you will need the church. You will need the church, oh. And I'm warning you now. Be engaged. The Lord is the head of the church. The Lord Jesus is the head of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:27 tells us, We are members of his body. We are members of the body of Christ. Members in particular. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Ephesians 1:22 tells us that all things have been put under his feet and he is given to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 22 to 23. Jesus is the head of the church. He wants us to be together. To pray together, learn together, love together. When we hurt each other, forgive each other and pray for one another
so that no devil can come and steal anybody from us. Or steal our blessings. We are more powerful together, I'm telling you. When we stand together in this house to pray and make declarations, God hears, heaven hearkens, angels hearken. But when we are divided and we're in strife, and I'm not your class, I'm not your level, if not for church, please, such things are not to be mentioned amongst us. They caught Peter. Acts chapter 4, it was Peter and John. They did a miracle in Acts chapter 3 as they were going to the temple. There was a man laid there. The man was always put there every day. He was lame in both feet. He had never walked in his life. He didn't know what walking meant. But Peter said, "Look on us." And the man looked at him. The Bible said they went there in the hour of prayer. In the hour of prayer, they went to pray. They had not prayed yet. They were still going to pray. But the anointing was resident on them and in them. Even God have I known, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he held him by the hand, jolted him up, and the man started walking. It was a notable miracle. And the man was at least 40 years old. A miracle happened, a problem started. The powers that be, the religious organizations of that time, they said, "How can you do that?" They didn't have a problem with a miracle happening. They had a problem with Peter and the apostles teaching in the name of Jesus and teaching that there is a resurrection for the dead. That if you die in Christ, you will resurrect again. They didn't like that. That led to the problem in Acts chapter 4. And the Bible says, when they looked at them, they didn't know what to do because they saw the man that had been healed standing by them. Their testimony was standing by them. You know when you don't like a man, but you can't deny the testimony that God has given him. I don't like you, but testimony, I like it. Those who don't like you, may God give you testimonies that they cannot deny. Some people, they may not like you, but God will give you testimonies that they cannot deny. We don't know whether he's a Yahoo. He's always praying and reading the Bible. And God is asking, he prayed for a sick girl in our presence. The girl got well. Can somebody use the power of Satan to do that? Well, he must be born again. Well, let's not talk about him again. Well, let's be talking about him, but in a good light. God will give you testimonies that will quiet him and silence your enemies in the name of Jesus. Shout a better amen. Amen. It's not a year to waste prayers. So the problem started in Acts chapter 4. They threatened them. They said to them, "In what name or by what authority did you do this miracle?" Stupid question. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, answered them. Instead of giving a simple answer, Peter started preaching. Then Peter filled the Holy Ghost. Thank you, media. My media people are born again. They know the scripture I'm quoting. Acts chapter 4 from verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel," he began to address them, "if we this day be examined of the good deed." You know the meaning of examine there? To examine, according to King James Version, is to beat them. Say, if you beat us, if you whip us, if you koboko us, because of the good deed that we have done, that God has done for this impotent man, by what means he's made whole? Yes. Be it known unto you all. All of you. Peter didn't fear. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Boldness came. Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In the same breath. Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Next verse. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone of the corner, right? Neither is there salvation. Look at Peter. He began to preach. By what name, by what authority, Peter began to preach. They said Peter had the weakness of talking too much. He was garrulous. But God used that to the advantage of the kingdom. Simple question. He began to preach. Correct. Correct man.
neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, move on, please. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Those are not nice adjectives to qualify anybody. Hello, brother. Unlearned and ignorant. They perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. Marvelous was there. They marveled. But listen. But they took knowledge. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. May people meet you this year and take knowledge that you have been with Jesus. It's the greatest prayer I can pray for you. That people meet you and it's as though they've met Christ. Hey. Not by your speaking in tongues. Hello, good morning. Rambos talabahaya lasto forosto. No. Not by carrying a fat Bible like Pastor Fred's Bible around and wearing a long face. We are born again. No, 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 no. They meet you in your element and all they see is Jesus. They meet you in your room, your roommates, who are the people that are closest to you. They see Christ in your character. You are not the troublemaker of the hostel. Troublemaker of the room. Troublemaker of the faculty. Say, ah, that boy, if you want Wahala Pro Max. No, no. That will never be our portion again. Can I have an amen? Amen. They meet you. They meet Jesus. Say, you want to see Jesus? Jesus' younger brother is here. Hey, bros, please come. That's his brother. He's like Jesus. I said, that will be your portion in the name of Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They couldn't say anything against the testimony. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. So they said to Peter and John, step out. Please go outside. Go outside. Go. For now, go outside. They now gathered the meeting. The meeting of the elders. The council. Council of elders. See what they said. Hey, what shall we do to this man? For that indeed the notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. We cannot deny it. Unless we want to kill ourselves. We cannot deny it. A notable miracle has happened. God will give you notable miracles this year. But what shall we do? We don't want it to spread any further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Their problem was the name of Jesus. And they called them. Oh yeah, come inside. Peter, John, come inside. Fishermen. They didn't go to university. Come inside. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now we are warning you. Don't you ever teach again or speak to anybody in that name. We don't want to mention the name. You know the name. You would think that Peter and John would be intimidated. Say, ah, okay. We have heard, so that they don't kill us, at least let us go. We will be preaching underground. No, not Peter and John. Hear what they said again. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, what did they say? Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, you judge. Judge. Whether I should fear you or fear God, you judge. Nothing to say again. These boys. Okay, for them to judge now. Will they say, don't hear God, hear us. You judge. For we cannot, my God, may we operate in this kind of faith. Where we are not intimidated, we are not shy about our Christianity, about our salvation. I'm a tech guy, but I'm not saying I'm a tech guy. I'm talking on your behalf now. Like, you are a tech guy, and in your tech industry, you are telling them about Jesus. When some of your colleagues start conversations about Jesus, they deride the church, they laugh at the church, they scorn. You two laugh sheepishly. You don't want them to think you don't belong. You just smile. God, in your time, you will talk to them. Not Peter and John. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen seen and heard. We have seen certain miracles. We have heard certain words. One of the things we heard was the voice of the Father. We were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." We heard the voice from glory. We heard. We heard. Even if you want to deny what you heard, you can't deny what you've seen. I saw him live on her. Sir, I'm an eyewitness. That's what some people like to see. But you can't deny what you see. So when they had threatened them, they let them go. All they could do was threaten. Finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. God will do things through your life this year that will make men glorify God. In your school, in your department, in your faculty, in your place of work, in your place of business, among your clients. God will do things in your life and through your life that will make men glorify God. Go back to that scripture, media. God bless you. Let me do this. And I have one more scripture, and that's it for today. So when they had further threatened, they let them go. Finding nothing, blah, blah, blah. Next verse, verse 22. For the man was about 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So they could not deny. The man himself was talking. I knew. I couldn't walk before. Now I'm walking. All these 40 years. Where have you guys been? Did you help me? People now help me. You want to put them in jail. For what? Verse 23. And being let go. The Bible said they went to their own company. Do you have your own company to go to? Your company is your local church. Being let go. Peter and John had a company. Not a company where they were working and they were collecting salary. They had a group of people that they accompanied with. A group of people they fellowshipped with. They went back to fellowship. They went back to fellowship and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. When I was scammed, I went to God and reported the scammer. I didn't report him for many months. I thought he was working. But when I found out, I reported him to God. And I reported him to leaders of the church. And people started praying. Some of my people here started praying. Pastor Luayemi and his family started praying. They pray every day. They still pray. My wife started praying. I pray. A couple of other people around the world pray. There are situations that may be bigger than you, but they are not bigger than God. And so you need corporate prayer at such a time. Certain things happened. I knew it wasn't just my prayer. I knew that the brethren were praying for me to catch a scammer that could not be arrested in the UK. The Lord brought him to Nigeria. The Lord brought him to me and told me to arrest him. I brought him to you. A UK-based scammer. With the title Reverend, apostolic cover of a church. Big guy. Naturally, I couldn't handle him, but God brought him to me like a chicken on the platform of corporate prayer. People were praying, Pastor Fred must not go down in the name of Jesus. And some called me and encouraged me, Pastor, you are not going down. No, you are not going to go under. No, you are not. No, people said that to me first. You are not going to go under, Pastor. No, we're praying for you. We're praying with you. Be assured, we're praying. Peter and John would have gone under. They went back to their own company. When they got back to their company, what did they do? What was their response? They didn't start this thing. Those Pharisees, elders, and Sadducees. No! The response of the church was prayer. I dare say, if anything is wrong with any member of your family, open up your mouth and tell the church. I'm believing God that this year we'll have a channel of communication where we can drop prayer points, prayer topics. If you have an issue, you want the church to pray, and I can assure you, we are going to pray. Because God hears prayers. God answers prayers. Psalm 65 verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalm 116 verse 2. NLT. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Oh, one hymn says, what a burden we bear, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not bring everything to God in prayer. Come on, give me that scripture, don't take it away. Acts chapter 4, media, please. And when they heard that, when Peter and John reported them, when they heard, what did the church do? Read, everybody. One, two, go. Did you see they lifted up their voices? He said they lifted up their voice. It became one voice to God with one accord and said, what did they say? Lord, thou art God who has made heaven and earth and the sea. And all. Then they prayed and prayed and prayed. Go to verse 29. And now, Lord, this was where they now reported them. Now, after they extolled God, they worshipped God, they told him all the things that he had done for them. Then they said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Next verse. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This was not the first time. They were filled again. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Then what happened? Next verse. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they all had things in common. There was an outbreak of love. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon all of them. And God said this year is going to be our year of multiple graces. So this is the year to pray. Are you with me, church? So we say great grace. And then poverty left the church because people that had houses and land sold them and brought the money, and the apostles, they gave it to the apostles, and the apostles distributed to every man according as they had need. You want to pay school fees of your children? Take it. Do you have foodstuff at home? No, we don't have foodstuff. Oh, yeah, take money for foodstuff. You want to pay house rent? Yeah, take it. What else? Oh, your car is bad. You want to fix it? Take it. Oh, you want? They distributed. Let me give you one more account. Because the church prayed. Act again. Acts chapter 12. It must be. Acts chapter 12. Acts 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Yeah? And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Killed him for fun. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. This is how Satan behaves. He will come to your family. He will do something. If you pamper him and say, maybe it's the will of the Lord. He will go ahead and take someone else and do something worse. If you don't stop him, he will do something worse until he destroys the entire family. That guy is the destroyer. Somebody must stop him and say, are you mad? Get out of here in the name of Jesus. After he killed James and the Jews were happy, he went ahead and took Peter. Because Easter was now coming, he said, go and put him in prison. Don't let us spoil Easter. After Easter, we'll kill him. So when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. Four quaternions means one quaternion, four. So four times four, 16. Peter was kept in the midst of 16 soldiers. Roman soldiers. If you are kept in the midst of even Nigerian soldiers, 16, you are really kept. One soldier is enough to undo you. One. Imagine 16 soldiers. They say, don't go anywhere. Will you make an attempt to go? You say, okay, I'm not going before. Let me sit down here. Abi? Soldiers, they can give you a punishment without beating you. That punishment will reduce the lifespan of that person. Frog jump in the sun. Frog jump. Frog. Oh, yeah, jump. Bloody civilian. Jump! Soldiers, very strong. I grew up in the barracks, so I know. I played football one day. My big toe here got twisted. One soldier just said, bring me up there. Lie down. I got born again that day. the way he was straightening it, he would put rub. I was, you know, yeah, big boy. And I would hear, crack, my bone. He was just massaging the leg. 16. Only Peter. No arm. Oh. He was not armed. He was not Boko Haram. No arm. 16 soldiers to keep him. He was kept. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Next verse. Peter, therefore, was kept. Can you see what I said? He was kept. If 16 soldiers keep you, you are kept. I love King James. Peter, therefore, was kept. May you not be kept like this, though. But may angels of God continue to keep you. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But see the response of the church. Like in Acts chapter 4. See the response in Acts chapter 12. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They made prayer. Do you know what that means? The prayer point did not exist before. They made it from the word of God. They made prayer. When I see that people are not praying, I say to myself, Kuti doju eni. It has not got to the point that we make you pray. When something that will make you pray comes, you will pray anyhow. That's the meaning of making prayer. When there's no organized prayer point. Gagoraba, Shugaba, Dega, Ah, Baro, Bagata, Lubariaba, Oloboru Bagaba. God, if you don't come, we are done for. One of our sisters had an accident. Tamilore, a medical student years ago, when they called me and I went to UCH, her head was times 4, normal head, big like this. When I saw the head, because the CMD took me by privilege to the ICU, only me, to go and see her. When I saw her, I was her pastor. I almost fainted. Is this? I saw head. Death was what the devil was painting to me. When I got out of the ICU, I gathered the brethren. Brethren! They said, yes, sir. Let's go and find the space. UCH knew that expression as people were using that day. We found a field close to perioperative nursing something. We found one field there. Gurabakaya, Okadeba, Loriaba, Egodo, Egaragaba, Oriekolole, Babao, Regedeba. You don't know when you combine English and tongues and Yoruba. You just combine everything. One of my friends, something happened to him. He began, Oluwa, Shewo Loru. Baba, Shewo Loru. And he was literally doing this. He was demonstrating what God should do. Break their neck. Shewo Loru means break their neck. When this man is praying, sometimes you see him doing like this. Gasakata, Yaba, Lekota, Gasata. At that point, you don't care whether anybody's looking at you. There is fire on the mountain. When you are still comported in the place of prayer, you have not started praying. Hoste, lebo, hoste. Hoste. Soft walk. Soft. Someone says soft life. Before soft life can come, there must be prayer, hot prayer in the background. There will be soft life, yes, but there must be hot prayer. We have an enemy that wants us to die every day. He doesn't want us to live. And you are there. Good morning, Jesus. You can start like that. But get to a point where you are almost hitting your head against the wall. That was how Jesus prayed. Hebrews 5:7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers to God with strong crying and tears, Jesus cried strong, not weak, strong and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. How do you think Jesus prayed? Maybe when you are still taxiing like an airplane, you taxi on the runway. But there must be a time you take off. That's why I love the girl that heads our prayer ministry. Now, the way that girl prays. The first time I heard her praying, I almost laughed. I said, this girl's tongue is unique. But I see consistency here. And if you know what you are doing, you don't come to the place of prayer and be looking at someone else and be laughing. It has not dawned on you. It has not touched you yet. When did it touch you, eh? Somebody said there's a way life touches you. You will first go barb low court. Baba, I mean, just first, I mean, because make her think clear. I mean, Victor, I need to make her think. I need to think clear. When it touches you, you will pray. Bria kotoraba, gado basekete, ruba zakataya, ogadie brakata. You break a sweat. You break a sweat. Jesus prayed, a capillary broke in his head. His sweat turned to blood. What kind of prayer do you think that was? The devil that is against us is not playing. You, they play. Christians, they play. Devil is not playing. Do you realize that when somebody's gone out of this world, that's it? It's not coming back. Oh. We meet again in eternity. Many should not have gone. They are there already. The devil has stolen from me. When my mother died, she shouldn't have gone. But she had no business going to heaven that time. I was planning to celebrate her. And then the devil came to my family and stole. I said, what? I went back to the spot where the accident happened. The following week, I went to win a soul. I said, devil, I will now make you mad. You think you can stop my zeal by doing this? And my prayer life has not been the same. And my inward witness, I tell you, the day my mom died, the Holy Spirit was telling me something. I didn't get it. A friend was in my office 1 hour, and he came for a different business, and I was telling him, I said, I miss my mom. I'm missing my mom. And I was with her last night after Bible study and expression house. This was Friday. I still saw her last night. After an hour, I got up. Emeka, he said, yes, I will go see mama. I won't go see Male. So he followed me. I didn't even call my mom. I was coming. Got to her house. She was fine. She was fresh. Everything was fine. For me to hear later in the evening, she went out. She got heat, and then she didn't even, no chance for me to even pray. I got so angry. Nobody will have this kind of grave again around me. No, nobody. Nobody. You must be aggressive in your faith, and you need the local church. One of the reasons we need the local church is somebody must be able to pick the signal. The Lord showed me something, and then you pray. And then you get to church. No backbiting. You call a brother or sister and say, please join me. The Lord showed me something. And it was not very clear, but I sense something bad is about to happen. Somebody in judgment. And let's pray, please. No much talking. Gagasia kata. Do you have such friends? Do you have such friends that they're about to prepare coffee to drink and the phone rings and they say, hello, babe, please get on the prayer mode right now. And they drop the coffee. Maraba sakata yalabahaya. Say, ah, come on, all of us want to enjoy. No, I'm not enjoying. My friend just called me now. People that can pray with you anytime. People that you can text and say, babe, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And they say, sincerely, I have a burden in my heart. Uh-huh. So share your burden. And when they share, it is the same thing the Holy Ghost has said to you. Only God knows what happened to my children when somebody gave us something to give them, to eat. Sanctified it, I ate out of it. I said, no. I didn't tell my wife. The next day, I said, what did the Holy Spirit tell you last night? She downloaded. I said, same thing. So that thing is ending in the dustbin. We have not seen that person since that day. We live in a very spiritual world. Don't be stupid by being prayerless. You don't come to come to local church this year. Belong. If you like, don't come. We will continue to have church. But what you are missing, you don't know. Some say, because I'm at work. Tell them at work, every Thursday, sir, Ejo, Thursday, 5:30, release me or 5, release me, I need to go to Bible study. Let them know you for something. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. I like the Muslims. 2 p.m., they get up, they go and pray. They were swearing in Muhammadu Buhari as president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. 2 p.m., he got up. He said, I'm going to pray. They were swearing him in as president. No Christian would do that. Christian will miss church, even Sunday morning. They want to swear me in. In fact, church, come and join me. We are not fanatical enough. We are not bold about our faith. And God doesn't work much with people who are not bold with their faith. You are neither here nor there. They say this, you buy it, you smile. They say that they talk about Jesus, you smile. They say the blood of Jesus said, don't finish. Now only the blood of God remain now. Comedians. And you laugh at such a joke. You don't look him in the eye and say, the Lord's. That your mouth. Will you stop that nonsense and look for something else? Do you realize today, almost in every skit, anything funny? Jesus! That name! No wonder it's not working for them. You can't reduce the authority of that name, but it will not work for you when you don't reverence the name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I love Muslims. You can't joke with Muhammad. In fact, when you mention the prophet Muhammad, you must say Salah wa alayhi wa salah. If you write it down, you must write Saw in front of it. He doesn't see anymore, but he saw. Prayer was made of the church. Give me that scripture. Let's close. The church made prayer. And when the church made prayer, Acts chapter 12, an angel came to the prison because God heard the prayer. I want to beg you, church, if you have any situation in your life that needs prayer, please open up. And you see all this coded life, coded Christianity. I don't want anybody to know what I'm going through. Stop it, oh. When the devil wants to destroy anybody, the first thing he will do is to separate you. They don't like you in that church anyway, and you believe they don't like you. Who doesn't like you? If anybody doesn't like me, too bad for them. They don't know me. Because if you knew me, you would love me. I'm a very nice person. Jesus is in my life. I have a good life. My situations are not always good, but they turn good at the end of the day because they turn for my good. If you have any situation that requires prayer, please open up in 2025. Text somebody. Text the church. Get the word out. Please, brethren, I need prayer. Ask my leaders. When I'm going to court, I tell them, the case has been adjourned to so-and-so. I want you to pray. Is it because I don't pray? Is it because I'm weak? If anybody says, maybe that pastor is weak, that's their problem. Peter needed prayer. Peter, apostle number one, needed prayer. Who is Fred? They will not need prayer. Move on, please. I'm sorry I've taken extra time. I didn't know I would take this much time. But are you getting blessed? Feel my pulse this morning, please. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night Peter was sleeping, you can't even sleep when they say they want to cut off your head. What kind of sleep is that? But Peter was in faith. Faith gives you peace in the midst of the chaos. Are we going to have chaos? Yes. But are we going to have peace in the midst of the chaos? Yes, sir. Sir! Yes, sir. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. 16 guarding him. Two were there permanently. Maybe they even tied him to their boot. In fact, the Bible says, look at that. Oh, I love the Bible. Bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. The keepers were keeping the door of the prison. Peter was inside the prison. Two soldiers attached to him. And behold, in response to the prayer that was made by the church, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light, KJV says shined. You don't have that in modern English. Shone in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. Get up! He was in a deep sleep. Smote him on the side and raised him up because his eyes were not clear. Didn't know whether he was dreaming or he was real. Raised him up, singing, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. As he got up, the chains fell off by themselves. Supernatural intervention on the platform of prayer. On the platform of prayer. This year, you will see supernatural interventions on the platform of prayer in the name of Jesus. The Bible didn't say somebody removed the chain. The chain fell off. And the angel said unto him, guard yourself, or you have to bind your, because you know the kind of clothes they wore. They will have to tie it, use your belt, tie up your garment. Guard yourself, and oh yeah, wear your sandals. Angel had to be telling him, because Peter was still dreaming. He was still sleeping, half asleep, half awake. Oh yeah, like a child, when you wake up a child, oh yeah, put this on. Peter was deep in sleep. What a man of faith. And prayer was being made by the church. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. So he followed him. Yes. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. But he thought he saw a vision. He didn't know whether it was they call it somniloquism or sonambulism. Sonambulism is sleepwalking. He didn't know whether it was sleepwalking. We don't shiroron. It's called shiroron in Yoruba language. Shiroron in Spanish. Shiroron in American English. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them of his own. Talk to me, church. Open to them of his own accord. Automatic door, like we have in ICC. It was not an automatic door. The power, the glory radiating from that angel commanded that door to open. The gate of the city does not open by itself, but this one opened by itself. It opened of its own accord. It's the kind of door you find in Sheraton and these five-star hotels. They open by themselves. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Yes. And when Peter was come to himself, what is happening? Is it a miracle here? A deliverance? What's going on? He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. May God deliver you from the expectations of those who hate you. Next verse. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? They were still praying. Peter had been delivered. They were still praying. Rokatayaba, Ugagadiaga, Garakata, Lord, deliver Peter. Oriaba Gaba Gaba Gaba, Logoriaba Katasa, Ugaga, Peter, out, out. Peter came to the house where they were praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. Rhoda was in the prayer meeting, but she had the knock, so she didn't know. She went to open the gate. Who did she see there? And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told them how Peter stood before the gate. Yes, next verse, please. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You are backsliding. That's what we say. When we are praying, you are sleeping. When we are praying, you are always sleeping. You went from your dream to open the gate. The Peter was still praying for you. He says, at the gate? How can it be? Does God answer prayer very quickly? That will be your testimony this year. Stand on your feet, everybody. Father, we bless your name. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. We honor you and we praise you. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. All eyes closed. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor, please pray with me? I want to surrender my heart to Jesus. All eyes closed. If there's no one, I want to pray for everybody and close the service. Is there anyone that feels my walk with God has really not been smooth, but I want to start afresh? It's a fresh year. It's a new year. You want to determine to walk with God this year. If you're in such a category.